Okay, Mishnah Vav. So now we're asking how they checked Seidim. We're going to see these are questions that are going to be specific questions about Kiddush HaChodesh. In Sanhedrin, when we get there, Bez Hashem, the fifth parak, it lists the usual questions, you know, like, where were you when this happened? What time was it? Like, we're not talking about those, the usual questions. We're asking about specific questions about how they checked to corroborate testimony about how the moon was. And I'll remind you, by the way, that the Rambam learns there are three parts of the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. The first part is to make the cheshbonos, when it should be. It's more than just when the new moon should be. There's also fancy calculations about, because when it is depends on elongation and how close the moon and is to the sun and how, and other factors also. So actually they'll know the answer. They'll know exactly how high the moon should be in the sky when it happens and whether it should be north or south of the setting sun and et cetera, et cetera. In fact, at the end of the Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh in the Rambam, he spends a lot of time with like a lot of geometry explaining to you exactly how all the math works. So they knew ahead of time to answer these questions. So these questions are being done now. They know the answer and they want to see if these witnesses really know what they're talking about and really saw it. So it says, Kate said, both Knesset Eidin. How did they interrogate the witnesses? Zug Sheba Rishon, the first pair that came, both Knesset Rishon. They would be checked first. So they usually typically came in pairs, like we saw Rabbi Akiva's Ma'akiv, the 40 partners. I don't know if you have to have a partner. I don't understand. I don't understand why it's always talking about Zugos. I don't see why you can't come as an individual. I don't understand why.
Just repeat that.
It's always talking about zugos, pairs. Normally, witnesses come in pairs. That's pairs. True, but for Kiddush HaChodesh, you shouldn't really need that.
Pardon?
For Kiddush HaChodesh, you shouldn't need to have a partner. See, normally,
you need two.
I know, but you should. I mean, it's not unreasonable to assume that someone else, somewhere else in the country, it was another witness to the same exact event. When you witness a murder, we were the only ones around. So it's obvious if it's just me alone. There's no point in me going.
We had that before.
We had
the zug.
Right. I know.
One took with the sun, and the other one took with the air.
Right. I understand. You need to have a zug. I even spoke out there. They had to have kavana not to be a zug, otherwise. So I'm not sure. I'm just raising the question. I don't know why it's speaking up pairs all the time. Why it can't be individuals. But anyways, that it is what it is. So the pair that came first, you know, first come, first serve. That's the point of this Mishnah so far. Yeah. Zug Sheba Rishon, the first one's in the door. Both Knesso Rishon. You know, first in, first out. They check them first. Right, umachnisin es agadol shebehen. They asked the greater of the two first. Yeah, I guess that's out of covered. To obviously separate them. They take their testimony separately to check that they have corroborating testimony, and therefore they'll take the greater of the two first as an issue of covered. Just to not get confused. Oftentimes, like when they have the Sanhedrin speaking and taking votes, they go from least great to most great. The littlest first. That's so that the younger ones shouldn't, or whatever, less great people shouldn't be influenced to just, you know, go with the people, the more influential people. But here it's private. Everyone's private, and therefore they take the greater first. But Omrim Lo, and they ask him, Emor, you know, saying, tell us, Ketzad Ra'isa Esalavana, how did you see the moon? Describe what you saw. Now, I don't think you should take these questions too seriously, because like, you see they overlap and so on, that's what Mefarshim explained. But anyways, this is what they ask. Lefnei achama o la'achar achama, which means literally means was it before or after the sun? But the way the Mefarshim explained it here means which way was it facing? Like, you know, was it facing, you know, what's called horns, concave, or face the sun? Which way was it facing relative to the sun? Letzafona o ledroma, did the moon set to the north or to the south of the sun, or was it sitting to the north? Because they actually can set on either one. It's possible we can go. The moon always. And everything always sets in the western sky because Earth's turning east, so everything sets in the western sky. But where it is relative to the sun could be slightly different, depending. Because I remember I told you it was whatever. Okay. So then ask, "Kama haya gavoa?" Like, how high was it in the horizon? Off the horizon was it? Ula'ayim hayanota, and which way was it facing? So that's already a question of like that seems to be repetitive, repeating. Which way was it facing? So they learn like it's just. Don't take it. The Mefarshim say that it's a description of what they're asking, whatever. V'kama hayarachav, and how wide was it? Again, some learn whatever, others learn. The Rambam learns that actually depends the distance. Just simple mathematics: the distance between the elongation, the perceived, the viewed angular difference between the sun and the moon. the width of the crescent is just a function of how far apart they are. The farther apart they are, so then the bigger crescent you're going to see. That's why a full moon, they're 180 degrees apart. It's a simple trigonometric function, right? Minus the coastline of the angular, the elongation times the radius of the moon. Straightforward. I mean, the math is it's a simple function. So they ask how wide was it, and the Rambam explains, depending on how far apart they were in terms of degrees and elongation, then there's an exact mathematical, you'll be able to figure out how thick the moon could have been. Fine. Im Amr Levnei Achama, if they said that it was before the sun, meaning that it was that the horns were facing towards the sun, so then Lo Amar Klum, then that's nonsense, because it can't happen that way. Again, so many learn this, it's just telling you this is how it worked. They knew what the right answers were as the test. If they get the right answers wrong, then just they dismiss them. Right, exactly. Next. Then they bring the second guy in, Obod Kenoso, they check if his story is the same as the first guy's story. If their words were in alignment, and they said the same thing. Edusim Kayemes, so then ta-da, we have two witnesses that are established, and this testimony is now confirmed, and now we'll be able to Mekadosh the Chodesh. Ushar Kol Azugos, and all the rest of the pairs of witnesses, see Zugos again, Sho'alan Osam Roshe Devarim, they'd actually ask them all, they'd bring them, everyone gets a turn to be interrogated. They'd ask them, like, you know, the basic questions.
Lo Shai Yitzri. Would that be before or after they sanctified the good ones?
Sorry?
Would that be before or after they sanctified?
No, before, for sure before.
They wouldn't do it until they heard everyone.
That's right. Now, why? Lo Shai Yitzri from the hand, not because they actually needed, they didn't care what they said, it doesn't matter what they said. Just Ela Kadesh Lo Yatsu Bapache Nefesh. They shouldn't be depressed. They shouldn't be disappointed. You know, they feel like they weren't important. So it's like, you know, no one knows. Everyone gets to be heard, and then they'd be Mekadosh Tumun, and everyone thinks, like, my testimony was important. Otherwise, if they would do what you suggested, be Mekadosh Tumun, then they know that they just waste their time, they'll feel bad. So therefore, everyone gets a chance.
Do they tell them that
the aid didn't know what he's talking about? No, I doubt it. I don't know. I'm sure they can't tell. If they want this ruse to work, they're going to not say anything. They're going to keep the shtum the whole time, so that no one will know who is the useful one. Right? Otherwise, they'll figure it out. If Mr. A, they came out saying he's no good, send us Mr. B. So when they don't ask them, when they say Mr. B was no good, then they figure B is good. So then what do you need from me, Mr. C for? So, yeah, exactly.
He doesn't talk about who made
it
parallel. There
are
other
Jews
that were cases are pretty parallel.
It sounds like it's done in serial. That's what it sounds like to me. And if not. Okay, so they did it in serial, so I said they in parallel, so what? I mean, whatever, I don't know, I wasn't there. What, it doesn't make a darn difference, right, obviously. They just, the only thing that's important is that the witnesses are, each one's interrogated, each one is, you know, sequestered from the other at the time of the interrogation. That's all that matters, that they have 10 rooms, and they 10 at a time, so what? It doesn't say that, but I mean, maybe that's how it was. I guess if they had thousands of witnesses to process, maybe they would break up with a small bus, they didn't, I don't know. Okay, fine.
It's a famous story.
So they shouldn't go out the pachy nefesh all disappointed. Bishvil shiu ragil lavo. So they should be ragil. So they should be accustomed to come in the future. That way, people will be people will come again. Fine.